The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Not Nikki Heyman, and yes, this is the North American Wrestling Connection, is sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is Jason Block, host of many shows here on Spectrum One. Nikki is away on business, on personal business, so I have three people here. Let's go to the other side of the world with Bad News Beeman to start off. How are you, sir?
Wait, this isn't the gummy bear hour? Oh, fuck this, I'm out.
Excuse me. I know. You've been spending a lot of time with your son. I can see that. Also, Mr. Tyler Brown, welcome back. How are you, sir?
And new Ohio Valley Wrestling Television Champion. Wait a minute. Yeah.
No,
just for the record.
Yes.
Just for the record, I have been saying that on my social media, but for the record, I am not the Ohio Valley Wrestling Television Champion. But the only thing is that Ohio Valley Wrestling has not kept up with their social medias of Instagram and YouTube in at least 2 years, so they might want to get on that.
Well, isn't that a TNA property now?
Nope. They're not associated with TNA anymore either.
Well.
Impact Wrestling.
Well, at least they have wrestling. We'll talk about TNA in a little bit. Oh, my goodness. But, of course, in for the stat boy, because we had a pay-per-view this weekend, VRM. What's up, man?
Not much. I've been watching some of the What Culture streams, and they just did the episode where the pay-per-view back in 2002 when Russo arrived, and oh my god, it was just as bad back. 2002 was a bad year for them. Probably nowhere near as bad as it's getting right now, though.
2017's not getting any better.
Yeah, let's talk about that, shall we? Okay, if you thought Josh Matthews was gone from TNA after that loser leaves town angle, you're wrong. Because at Slammiversary, he is teaming with Mr. I'm Not Shutting the Tweet Up, Scott Steiner, against Jeremy Borash and Joseph Parks.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that have just tuned in, no, you did not hear that wrong. You're not on the wrong channel. Yes. Abyss is gone once again, and Joseph Parks has returned. It's the same fucking person!
Yes!
But the bigger thing we have to say, that's what we said last week, Steiner's back with Impact.
Good. I'm not surprised. It's Jeff Jarrett's bum buddy, let's be honest.
Wow!
Wow!
You just called. I heard what you said.
I'm not apologizing for it. It's 100% fact and 100% well known. I mean, Scott Steiner to Jeff Jarrett is what Gerald Briscoe and Pat Patterson were to Vince McMahon.
Yeah. Okay.
If Jeff stopped, Steiner's head would be up his ass in one second flat.
Oh, jeez. Tyler, what do you think of the whole Lashley, El Patron, Tyler for title thing that's going to happen, too?
I will have to say that I haven't been watching much of Impact, but the last night, the one thing I did see was, of course, that Josh Matthews losing his mind and telling Borash he's suspended. And, dear God, Josh Matthews, it's like they said, okay, here, Josh, chug this 4-pack of Red Bull and then go out there and do this. Because he was so spastic delivering everything, it was just like, oh my God, poke my eyes out with something sharp, please.
Okay, Tyler, I have to ask. on a scale of 1999 interviewer Michael Cole to 2011 heel Michael Cole, where is Matthews currently falling? And please tell me he's beyond, is he beyond 2011 heel Michael Cole yet in terms of the why?
Awful. Just beyond awful.
So he's beyond the heel run then.
Yeah, it's beyond making you want to mute your TV. It makes you want to turn off your TV.
If this was Kurt Hawkins' fact segment, Josh Matthews is the reason that Impact Wrestling is declining in ratings. Facts.
Yeah, fact. Oh. Put it to you this way. I want to watch Impact Wrestling. I really do. Because if you support other feds, they'll succeed. Like, I will give you an example of how to support another Fed. Shall we? Let's go back to last weekend at House of Hardcore. Okay? Now, that was one of the last dates that the Hardys were on before they signed their contract with WWE. So, if you remember correctly, they were signed, and they haven't really done any wrestling, but at the last minute on Saturday, one of the Young Bucks got sick. Okay? Because I believe the Young Bucks were supposed to be the Hardys' replacement. So, Tommy Dreamer gets out his Rolodex and goes up the chain as far as, believe it or not, to Vince and Triple H. They went all the way up there. And Vince and Triple H said, look, you're going to owe us one, but just make sure the Hardys don't get hurt. So they pulled the segment, and there you go. What I mean, VRM and Shane and Tyler, you guys read about this, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, right? I mean, you know.
Personally, I wouldn't have expected them to say yes. It's because of the Hardys being back and, you know, them being so worried that, you know, that's the last thing they need is, hey, by the way, those Hardys we just had returned, yeah, both of them are out on injury reserve and won't be back for another 8 months. You know, that's the last thing they need.
Yeah, but it's Tommy Dreamer. Like, as much as he's the father of extreme wrestling, he's also a good businessman, and Vince, that's the only reason why Triple H and Vince have done this for. They have as much respect for what Tommy's done for the wrestling business, and said, "Look, we trust you. We're gonna make sure as long as you make sure they don't get hurt, then that's fine."
Well, we all know that one day in the next couple of weeks, Tommy Dreamer is going to show up in a House of Hardcore shirt, and Braun Strowman is going to fuck him up the ass. But you understand what I mean. I'm not trying to be rude or stuff. But Tommy Dreamer is going to get thrown out, you know, thrown around by Braun Strowman. It's just going to have to be,
We know where this is going, Jason. We know where it's going. He's going to get a phone call in 2 months' time and say, hey, listen, dude, we got a new pay-per-view coming. It's called Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, whoever thought of that name. Okay.
So we want you and some of your House of Hardcore boys to come do a invasion angle, and we're going to make this a hardcore event.
Or something. Well, we all, like I said, we all know Tommy's going to have to pull in a favor, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He's going to cut, but you know what? And of course, by the way, there was also a little news this week. Some person said that there was a rumor that the WWE bought the rights to the Broken gimmick. and Rebe said, no. Rebe said, nope. And I wrote hashtag fuck that owl. I believe she wrote fuck that owl too, if I'm not mistaken. So. But it's gonna get it's coming, Tyler. Right? The Broken gimmick's coming.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, when he first got there was when he was on the sidelines, I believe, and when Jeff Hardy was having his first solo match back, he was kind of sneaking in a little bit of the Broken kind of language and linguistics. But I think right now that the company that owns Impact has a freaking chokehold on they want to keep that chokehold on the Hardy's gimmick, whether they own it or not. and they're probably going to fight it until it basically breaks the company and makes them go bankrupt fighting this in court.
Yeah, but we talked about this last week, Tyler. The ones that own Impact now had actually just lost $300,000 in a court case that they had just previously lost, and now they've got a court case that they wouldn't have a leg to stand on. So it's like, do they take the risk and then not have money to pay their talents and pretty much everyone's going to jump ship again? Or do they just give up the rights to the broken gimmick, which I think they've already done in behind the scenes?
I would hope. I would hope. So, you know, I mean, like I said, we're going to see it, and we'll talk about that probably in Pick'ems, maybe. Some other interesting sort of news. Tajiri has announced that he has quit WWE, and I believe he has quit wrestling, period.
Correct.
Because of his age and his knee. One of the best Japanese guys of all time, to me. I mean, any thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean...
You got to tell
her. I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, Tajiri was very, very talented. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, he had something special to him, you know, and it's at a time when you had the Kai and Tai and things of that nature. You know, Tajiri was just something a little bit different. You could tell he was very skilled, especially with the legs. He was very, very quick on his feet. And just, you know, the whole thing that, you know, apparently he could speak English really well out of character, but on character his English was extremely broken and sort of played into the stereotypical Japanese character. But when he got in the ring, there was no doubt about what his skill level was. You know, and he was very much an attraction. And, you know, he never won any of the big titles, but he still did really well. And he shouldn't be ashamed to have to hang it up at his age and what he's done with his career.
VRM Shane, do you think he's going to be some sort of ambassador, or do you think he's going to stay in Japan and just do his thing over there?
From what he stated with his leaving WWE announcement, he said he's just going to go back to Japan and help out there because, yeah, like you said, with his knee, he can't really keep up with the speed anymore and can't do what he used to do. So, yeah, that's why he's just said, yeah, I'm respectfully bowing out of WWE because they deserve better than what I can give them.
Which I think is a class move. You know, I mean, and hopefully maybe WWE will pay him in some respect. You know, maybe, you know, the whole that stuff. But again, one of the best Japanese guys in the modern era. And
Definitely. Yeah. I would go as far as to say Tajiri is in the top four best Japanese pro wrestlers of all time.
Who else do you put in there?
I've got great Muda.
Right.
Great Muda. I think Shinsuke Nakamura has put in a great deal of career work. And the gentleman that's just recently gone into the Hall of Fame, I think
Fujinami.
It was the year before. Yeah. Yeah,
that's great stuff. Great stuff. So, Mr. Part-Time, Mr. John Cena, who took a little time off, just turned 40 over the weekend. He's a 40-year-old man. And you know how he celebrated? By deadlifting about 670 pounds. You see the video of this?
I have it now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's insane. He does a deadlift of about 670 pounds, combined with the fact that he's got a new movie out, which I've seen the trailers for. It looks pretty good. It's called The Wall. It's from Amazon Films. It's going to be in limited release. And, of course, he and the Bellas went naked to celebrate the $500,000 subscriber limit, if you saw that.
Whoa. Let's not false advertise here, people. For those of you that were about to go nuts and think that Brie Bella got naked, no. It was just John Cena and Nikki Bella getting nude for the fact that the Bella Channel got 500,000 subscribers.
And they weren't really naked. It was pixelated.
It was pixelated, so you couldn't see Cena's balls. So, no. Like Cena, you can't see them.
And there is a rumor going around that there is a Vince McMahon biopic in production, or will be. Did you hear about this? This is interesting. I mean, from what I read about this, which was quite interesting, that it's a script. It was called Pandemonium. It's done by Columbia TriStar, and it was written in 2015. And the people who are directing it is the people behind a show that a lot of people love called This Is Us. A guy by the name of Glenn Ficarra and John Requa. And the producer is Michael Luisi of the head of WWE Studios and Aperture Entertainment, Adam Goldwarn. And Charlie Gogolak of Zoftic Films is listed as the executive producer. And it takes very, very, very creative license to a lot of different things. Let me ask you something. Would you guys see this, even though it's a sanitized version or you know what I mean? Would you guys see this?
I wouldn't really want to see a biography that's based on lies. It's just me. My own personal thing. Because I think if they told the 100% truth of how Vince McMahon did things, that a lot of people would be shocked.
So this is going to be a very interesting creative license story if they go through with it. Just saying. But that would be interesting. Let's see. What else? CM Punk. Instead of training for his next UFC fight, is actually going to be on MTV's Challenge.
Well, he's done the transition pretty well. I'll give him that. He's done what most of the guys have done. He did what Dave Bautista did. He went from wrestling to the octagon to TV. And that's exactly what CM Punk's done.
Well, again, we will see. We will see where that goes. Shaq did an interview this week. That said that the WWE was the one who screwed up the pay-per-view match, not him. He said he would lose. He said he would do it for the kids, as he said. Do you guys don't believe that, do you?
I saw the interview that he said. He made up I wouldn't say made up, but he said so much stuff that was like he said. Originally, they wanted it to be a. One-on-one. Yeah. Originally, they wanted to do one-on-one, and then they wanted to do 5-on-5, and then it was like, and then yeah, they just never got back to him, and yeah, eventually to the point where Shaq just said no. They dropped the idea again, and then Shaq said so Shaq signed with someone else to do something else, but then they've called him back and said, no, we're going to go back to the original plan. He said, well, I've just committed to this. So, do I believe WWE is the ones that screwed up? Yeah, probably, because WWE is not very well known for their communication with celebrities and other wrestlers.
It's very interesting. Of course, we talked about the new pay-per-view Great Balls of Fire with Xavier Woods doing a bit of fun on his webpage, on his Twitter feed about it, which was kind of cool. All right, let's talk about the shows this week. Let's go to Raw. Roman, as we know, Matt, Joanna Y is still away. There was a very good shoot interview this week, Tyler, on the WWE.com page about his brother's passing. Do you think, we talked about this last week on the show, do you think that should have also translated in an interview, maybe a taped piece, or do you think that was the right place to put it in?
I think that was probably the best place. not on the network, just out in the open, to where Roman can just kind of bear all, because I feel like it doesn't need to be treated as premium content to just put on the network. It's something that's a little bit more realistic, and typically a lot of their more realistic things, especially when wrestlers pass, they usually put that on the main website with video packages and things of that nature. So yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, on the website would be the best place for them to put it. Most of the time, most of the fans can kind of, you know, keep it separated what's kayfabe and what's real. And, you know, so obviously, you know, there's ways you can easily fact check, you know, that Matt had passed away by, you know, a funeral home putting out the, you know, the notifications and things of that nature, as well as his family, such as Rikishi and other close family members of the NOI family, who had put out various postings on Twitter. And I believe Kishi even put up a picture of him and a few of the boys in their suits at the funeral home. So,
yeah. So VR, that was a good, it was also a good thing to keep them off air, and you do it that way, right? What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, so the show opened with a bit with so much duphosity. Okay, so we get the highlight reel, starting with Chris Jericho, which led to Miz TV, which led to the Ambrose Asylum, and Ambrose giving Jericho. Ah, this is beautiful.
I saw this. Yes.
Giving Jericho a suit jacket from the rack of Men's Warehouse, if you kind of looked at it, with Christmas lights taped on it.
And this lovely jacket, ladies and gentlemen, can be bought on WWEshop.com. Not yet. For just $49.95.
Not yet.
But for all pay-per-view prices.
Yeah, not yet. But that actually led through the night. It actually led to Jericho and Ambrose teaming up and putting away their differences, and more duphosity of him getting off the list than back on the list.
Yeah. Like, you crossed him off, and it's like, so it's like, yeah, no, you're still on.
You're still on. And then, of course, The Miz was trying to get, you know, Cesaro and Sheamus to get, and some, and, you know, and other partners, but there was a 2-on-1 handicap match until the later of the night, and again, sort of scratching my head, Wyatt? Really?
Yeah, and the way I did it was like, Ambrose was about to dirty deed Miz on the table, suddenly graphics go off.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, it's like, I understand the past history, but with Ambrose at least, and there was a brief thing with Jericho way back, and it was like.
Allow me to shed some light on this for you, gentlemen.
Please go ahead.
The reason why this has happened is because after payback is all said and done, and the next after payback's all said and done, and Dean Ambrose retains the title against Miz, it looks like two cancellations have happened. We're not going to get a continuation of Miz versus Ambrose. And we're not going to get the Wyatt versus Finn feud. Looks like we're going to get Wyatt going after Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental Championship and Finn Balor facing The Miz.
Interesting. Okay.
Because of the fact that they don't think that doing Wyatt versus Finn is good now, due to the fact that Finn's still coming back from his injury. So they want to build him up some more. And obviously, Wyatt needs something that's going to be sort of as a consolation prize for him having to give up the Intercontinental Champion, for giving up the WWE Championship so quickly.
Yeah, so we might see. And we still don't have a Universal title defense. And it's probably not going to happen till June or July.
Yeah, it's already been announced that Brock Lesnar will be defending the title in July.
Oh boy. Okay. So we're getting that, but of course Wyatt won that particular segment, which was pretty cool. Again, I love Bray Wyatt, and I'm glad he's getting the main event push that he deserves. Okay. So Tyler, what do you think of the Hardys and the teasing of Sheamus and Cesaro? That's kind of fun, no?
Yeah, I feel like with the way Sheamus and Cesaro have been, they're gonna probably end up turning heel, because I really don't see the Hardys turning heel, just because big faces, big money. They just put out new merchandise, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel like, or maybe Sheamus and Cesaro will just kind of stay the way they are, but still kind of go like in the middle, not quite faces, not quite heels. Because I don't know what exactly, I don't know what the heel balance is, other than, let's see here, the club.
There's the club and Enzo and Cass. That's it.
But really, are Enzo and Cass heels?
Not yet.
So,
because Enzo and Cass are fighting the club on the kickoff show yet again. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't think they're going to turn heel. I think Cass will probably turn heel on Enzo. That's about it. But
what was one of the more interesting things of the night? So Strowman, so we thought Kalisto was going to have a long night because he was fighting Strowman in a dumpster match. Now, this was weird, VRM, because Kalisto won the match because Strowman only got into the dumpster. Okay, because usually I thought it was like a casket match where you close
the dumpster. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that was more sort of a plot point, you know, because right afterwards, oh my God, Strowman beat the absolute holy hell out of him. Okay. No.
Oh yeah. And then the dumpster going off the stage spot.
Yeah.
Which of course classic, but this one was kind of,
it was all right because the stage wasn't that high, okay? Yeah. And, of course, you saw him, you know, close the dumpster in and try to make him safe, you know, so he doesn't fall out. But, that was a good beatdown segment, right, guys? No?
Yeah, no, it was a good beatdown segment. I'm just surprised because I swear WWE wants to get sued. Because someone in Lucha Underground is pissed.
Why?
Right now. Because they looked at Kalisto's outfit and said, he stole my friggin' outfit. What the
Are you talking Rey Mysterio, that one?
No, not Rey Mysterio. What's the guy's name?
Pentagon Jr.?
Pentagon Jr., yeah. He has the exact same look with the horns on the mask and everything. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, Kalisto, did you steal that from him or what the hell?
I don't know. I mean, let me ask you something. Do you think that will move Kalisto to 205 Live, or do you think he's still going
to... He's got to go to 205 Live. I'm sorry, but like I think the whole underdog thing, like some people have said, is getting overused. And I just think that Kalisto should stick to 205 Live and be probably a big contender against Neville.
Mm, yeah, well, yeah. Who's having an awesome series with Aries and Jack Gallagher and all those people. Good stuff there. Over in the women's division, we had Dana Brooke beating Alicia Fox, and then Emma coming out and going, hey, you were cool! And Dana's going, the fuck? And then I thought before, you know, after Raw, I thought Alexa Bliss had a great promo this week. She's really good on the mic, right, Tyler? You like her?
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing is I think she's starting to come out on her own a lot more as time has progressed.
And the work rate will come through, actually, I hope.
Okay.
But then, which led to Sasha, and of course she won by count out because Alexa did the classic heel move of just leaving her, you know, leaving. So, over to SmackDown, because, again, little bizarro world, because SmackDown is totally bizarro world. Breezango won a beat the clock challenge this week. Became the number one contenders against, I believe, the Usos, who have the belt, right? Usos have the belt, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Then Jinder Mahal is still being pushed against Randy Orton and left with the title bout after leaving him laying after Randy won a no DQ fight against Eric Rowan. Can anyone explain to me why Mahal is being pushed to the moon right now?
Because they're doing a network thing over in India and they need an Indian star to push, and Mahal fits the stereotypical Middle Eastern Indian look.
That's it.
That's the only reason. Just for network buys, people. Money.
Wow. Okay.
It's definitely not for his fucking work rate. I mean, come on, this is the same.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
This is the same man that gave a stiff forearm to one of their most talented wrestlers and injured the man, gave him a concussion, and is the reason why they have to go so soft on Raw at the moment with him.
Mm. Ziggler, of course, is still hanging with Nakamura. You know, that's still going on.
That's a money match. I'm gonna be honest. It's a money match because Ziggler's always has been and still is one of the best sellers in the business. And Nakamura, I think him and Nakamura can put on a great match. As far as what they're doing now with this whole like juvenile bullying stuff of like, so, how are you doing, Nakamura? It's like, oh, psych, haha, I got the mic. It's like, no, it's not working.
No, just do it as wrestlers, you know? Do it as the wrestlers, you know? That's what I'm just saying. Zayn and Owens are still at it with AJ and Corbin. And Corbin attacked Sami Zayn on Talking Smack and, quote-unquote, was suspended.
Yeah, that was from him punching the referee, though.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because he attacked Zayn, and then the referee tried to break him up, and Corbin got so angry that he punched the referee, but then he's like, oh, shit, what have I done?
Okay.
So like a Big Show segment after he ran over AJ Lee. After he's, like, done a violent act, he's like, oh, shit. Sorry. But, yeah, it's good. The whole Zayn and Owens thing, like, I know they want them to fight forever, but keep them apart from each other for a little bit, please.
So I think I am bringing in a special guest from is this who I think it is?
Well, who the hell is calling me at midnight?
You just texted me and said, call me.
Oh, good. That means you were still awake.
Yeah, because we're doing a show. We're saving your behind. You're on the road, you know, in a secret location.
Excuse me. This was very important to me. And not that the show isn't important to me, but something's only happened once, and we've done this 471 times?
Thereabouts. No, but that's all good. Right, that's... But the fact is, we've got you here. So I just want to ask you a couple of things, because we were talking about Raw and SmackDown and all that stuff. Because we were just getting into a couple of things here. What do you think of the whole Rusev now just demanding a title at Money in the Bank?
Well, I read somebody comparing it to CM Punk back in 2011.
like, I'm going back to Bulgaria.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, you guys aren't treating me with respect, so I'm going to, you know, I'm going to just stay here and train. Call me when you have a title shot ready for me.
That's cool. By the way,
I'm digging that.
By the way, on the phone for everyone who's there, it is the actual true host and show, the Ms. Nikki Haymon. Welcome, by the way, to the show.
And it's good to be on my own show for, well, I feel I apologize that I wasn't here at the top of the show, but you see, I was at a very, very important event.
Which I will talk to you about off air, of course.
If this wasn't the stripping of Brock Lesnar, then no one cares.
See, I went in the wrong direction, and I'm in Florida. I'm not in Alberta.
No. I just have one question. By the way, are you taking care of Ember Moon's injured arm?
She won't let me in.
No. By the way, speaking of which, there were a couple of NXT releases, and the rumor. By the way, some of the Tough Enough people not released just yet, but the rumor is that they may. So.
Okay.
But I think the most interesting thing about the week this week was the fact that we have an actual women's division that actually cares about the women's title.
Indeed.
VRM, I mean, look, so you had Naomi and Charlotte for the title, and there was no contest because we had an attack from the He-Woman Haters Club. You know,
the disgruntled blondes.
Yes, Carmella, Tamina, and Natalya decide to say, "You know what? We want the title too."
I'm just wondering when Tamina turned blonde, because if we're calling them the disgruntled blondes,
some of them,
something, one of these things just doesn't belong here.
Well, just the fact that Ellsworth's involved.
Oh God!
Now come on! If this was 2000s WWE, somehow James Ellsworth would end up with the women's belt.
Oh God! Well, yeah. Oh, speaking of which, and I don't know if we talked about. Did we talk about Ronaldo leaving last week? I think we did. Correct.
I don't think it had been. Was it finalized when we were on the air last week?
I'm not sure because I forgot to put that in the notes. Ronaldo is gone from WWE. And the big news was that he put out a statement basically saying, it's not JBL. Now, we all know Wrestling Logic, VRM, and Nikki, and Shane, and Taylor. When they say it's not about JBL, what does it mean?
It's definitely about John O'Clock.
It's definitely Jibbles. I'm sure there was a couple of other things, but you can't tell me that Texas Longhorn loudmouth did not do something to that poor man's psyche.
Yeah, I think he had a Joey. I'm going to be brutally honest, ladies and gentlemen. Mauro Ranallo was Joey Styles in disguise because I think he left the exact same reasons Joey Styles did, which was one, JBL. And two, the stupid script that Vince McMahon gives everybody, the words that you cannot say on air. Because for those of you that didn't get to watch it, Ronaldo did a MMA fight or a boxing fight or something, where a lady walked down to the ring and he said, and she comes from a professional wrestling background, and my God, does it feel good to say that again. Professional wrestler.
Whoa! Nah. Damn!
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Damn.
Shots
okay.
Fired.
Yes.
Oh, not only was it shots fired from Ronaldo, but shots were fired from TNA as well with the whole stupid Josh Matthews segment. For those of you that weren't paying very close enough attention to it, when he said to, when he was down talking to JB, he said, "You're nothing more than JB Loser," which is JBL, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, of course it is. Yes, exactly.
And we will not, and this company does not stand for big time bullies like you. It's like, oh,
shots fired.
That's probably the smartest thing TNA's done in years.
Yeah, we talked about the stupid bullshit of Scott Steiner coming back.
Not only that, but bringing back Joseph Park, who is Chris Parks, as we all friggin' know, because you stuffed up that storyline 2 years ago. But anyways.
But and we also talked about the fact, just before we go into the pick'ems and such, we also talked about the fact that Tommy Dreamer is going to get hurt by Braun Strowman in a couple of weeks as payback for letting the Hardys wrestle. No.
Jason said that, Nikki. I said that he's going to be put in an Extreme Rules tag team match at Great Balls of Fire.
Oh, don't get me started. Please tell me you guys went on for at least 5 minutes about other song titles that we could use for pay-per-views, because I've got a few of my own.
Oh, good. No, we didn't. That's why we have you on. Go ahead. What do you got?
I was going to say, well, shame on you, because there are so many other ideas. If they're going to do that, let's do an all-cruiserweight pay-per-view called In the Air Tonight.
Oh, yes. Very good. Oh, points. Points. Go on.
Well, that'd be changing Money in the Bank, wouldn't it? In the Air Tonight?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. But if you want to change Money in the Bank, we could call it, to start calling it Money for Nothing.
And the chicks for free. No, that's TNA's. That's TNA's pay-per-view. The chicks for free. Yeah. Anyway, but go on. This is good.
But if you're talking, you know, you want women, let's do an all women's pay-per-view. It'll be called Bitch.
I was gonna actually go that step further and say we're gonna see the return of PMS, but just anyways. Everyone remembers that tag team stable PMS. Don't act like you didn't remember it. We all remember that. Just name the whole pay-per-view PMS.
Oh, God. Politically incorrect. Oh,
just, you know.
No, because, ladies and gentlemen, because the pay-per-view is now called Pretty Miserable Some Bitches.
Yeah.
But
yes, In the Air Tonight. That's great. That's very good. I'm very impressed. Thank you.
Instead of Valentine's Day Massacre, we have What Becomes of the Brokenhearted.
Oh, that's a great tune, too. What Becomes of the Brokenhearted? Yes. Delete. I'm sorry. That's the what's What Becomes of the Brokenhearties. That's even better.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
There you go.
You could have way too much fun with this. And how in the world would you have a pay-per-view called Great Balls of Fire and not have Kane involved?
Well, no, because he's actually running. Yes, he's running. But yes, he could have it right now. But yes.
Oh, no, but imagine that. Let's just fast forward to 2 months in the future, ladies and gentlemen, and have the future, the now mayor of Knoxville County coming out with his old glove and just shooting a fireball at somebody. And being like, that's for not voting. Thank you and good night.
Ratings. I don't live there, and I wish I could vote for him. Mm. But, you know, if you're going to do – you want to do song titles for pay-per-views, I mean, there's so many different directions. I'm going to pull up this thread. Hang on.
But there is a brilliant name.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, while you're doing that research – there is actually a brilliant meme going around right now of Triple H back when he had his long hair, but when he was crying in the ring, going, Vince, please don't name this pay-per-view Great Balls of Fire. And Vince is like, and you see Vince with that evil smile of his going, I'm going to do it. And he goes, Vince, please don't. And he's like, done. You see Triple H crying, and it's like, oh, Jesus.
So yeah, some people were suggesting, okay, here we go, you know, instead to really lure, you know, let's lure Rusev back, you know, back to the whole thing, and we'll do a whole pay per view for him called Back in the USSR.
Very good. Or Bohemian Rhapsody, not bad, right? Yeah. Or Bulgarian Rhapsody, you know.
There you go.
Let Lana go. No, we will not let her go. Let her go.
No, that we will not let her go.
Well, just that, you know, and you could go in another direction in it, because everybody's going to take this wrong. So to this, I would like to register a complaint, because if you're going to call something Great Balls of Fire, you're going to put it in a series of pay-per-views where you get your best non-wrestling fan friend and say, hey, come watch some shows with me. We'll start with Hard Justice. Then we'll watch Heat Wave and Hardcore Justice. If time allows, I might pop in One Night Stand or even Hardcore Justice 2 One Night Only if I'm really feeling masochistic. I'm just working my way to Great Balls of Fire. To this I say, Uncle Paul should sue for material being stolen.
Excuse me. And that ain't PG. That's all I'm saying. That ain't PG.
So it's just, why? What are you doing? You know, to this I say, I honestly think the entire blow up on the internet for this, I think Hunter is just sitting somewhere with a big bowl of popcorn, and Sean's sitting right next to him, and they're just laughing their asses off at every response.
They're trolling Reddit. No. They are the trolls on Reddit.
Yes. They are doing this on this. They're doing this on purpose.
And you want to know something? I will bet you this gets changed.
Oh, it will, but for this, if they want to call it Great Balls of Fire, then it should be maybe we should do, if you really want to get that cheesy, this should be a Southpaw pay-per-view.
Yes!
I just wish I was in that boardroom meeting. Like, I really do. I would love to have been sitting there with, like, Paul Levesque going, probably being the only responsible man going, you know what, Vince, we're gonna bring back Armageddon. And Vince is like, no, we can't do that. Let's call it Great Balls of Fire. And Johnny Ace is probably sitting there going, that's a brilliant idea, Vince.
Do you got to go, Tyler? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, go for it, man. Yeah,
and Trips is like saying, Dad? Pops? Like, what Pops? Are you doing?
Did you take your meds this morning? It's like, of course I did. I took my meds this morning.
Of course I did, damn it.
Of course I did.
You better agree to Great Balls of Fire or you'll be fired. Like, yeah, okay, I agree. Great Balls of Fire, it's great. Yeah, great.
Even the wrestlers are baffled. Becky Lynch posted on her Twitter, she didn't say the full thing, but it was pretty much, what the actual retail fuck is this?
Yes, exactly.
You would think Becky Lynch would be behind it, because she brings straight fire, and she's like, yeah, this is my pay-per-view. Fire!
No.
I would pay more than $9.99 if their sponsor was Gold Bond.
Oh, God! Oh. Oh, my God! God!
It could have been worse, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Great Balls of Fire, brought to you by Trojan. Get one today.
Oh, God!
That's not PG.
I was thinking more, wow! Great Balls of Fire! Wow. Okay. On that note, VRM, save our asses, please, with the spreadsheet. Save us.
Payback. Pick'ems. Oh.
Okay.
But VRM's still dead.
6, 7, 8 matches, 10 points, wild card, first one, pre-show match, Enzo and Cass versus the Club, 2 points, take a guess what they are.
Yes, who wins and who stares at the pretty lights? Yeah, that.
Not bad.
Yeah, okay, I'll start with you, Nikki. Who you got?
Okay, so it was the Club versus
Enzo and Cass again.
Again. Club, and they're going to squish Enzo.
I will say cut and paste. I think I actually think because you notice Enzo was also taken out of the six man this week. I think he's hurt.
I think he is too. And since we're already in Pick'ems, I can tell you he didn't work the house show this past Sunday in Fargo.
Mm.
Yeah.
He was there, but he was not in the ring.
I really think that they are covering up a very big injury. That's the I forgot to talk
like
about that.
Like they were covering with Kofi.
Yeah, which
is why I'm going to say the same. And wild card.
Right here. Oh, early. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Early wild card. Cass takes out Enzo, starting his heel turn single run, so that way Enzo can recover as well.
I don't think so on that, because remember, Enzo and Cass are part of the Universal Sweepstakes. They can't turn him heel just yet.
But
just a thought. Okay.
I will copy paste still. Okay. By the way, Josh also has a club in Enzo. Next up, the match we were supposed to get at, or we were rumored to have supposed to have gotten at Roadblock. Or no, that was a Roadblock or. Oh, I already forgot what the name of the pay-per-view before WrestleMania was.
Fastlane.
Yeah, match we were supposed to probably have gotten at Fastlane. Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe.
Wow, that's tough. I am going to say that Joe wins by DQ. This is the beginning, not the end of a feud. This is going to last a little bit. I think Rollins and Joe work very well together. Check out, I believe Tyler Black has fought Samoa Joe in ROH. So I'm going to say, Ring of Honor. So I say Joe by DQ.
Yeah, I'm also going to go with Joe. This is his first pay-per-view match, isn't it?
Don't think so. Or close to.
No.
This is his first official WWE pay-per-view match.
Or did he go against Sami Zayn against at Fastlane?
Fastlane. That's right.
Yeah. But, yeah, still. Still, I'm also going to go with Joe here, establishing him finally and trying to get him into the main events scene where he does belong. So
I'm going to say Joe, and not by DQ. I think he's going to murder Seth again.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because what we do here is that, you know, you've got to generate some sympathy for Rollins, because yes, he's conquered, you know, he's finally beaten the boss, but he beat the creator, not the destroyer.
Ah, very good. Very good. Shane?
I'm going to say Seth Rollins by DQ. Because Joe's just going to destroy him to the point that referee's going to disqualify him.
I can see that too, but I'm not changing my answer.
All right, next up. I just want to make sure that this is.
And what does Josh have?
Oh, yeah, Josh has Seth as well. Next up, Cruiserweight Championship, Neville versus Austin Aries.
Nikki, I'll start with you.
Neville retains because TJ Perkins is in his back pocket and Aries has no backup yet.
Damn it.
VRM.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to pull the wild card on.
All right, then go for it.
I'm not using it as a wild card, so
okay.
Go for it.
Yeah, so Neville will retain, and TJ Perkins is going to interfere on his behalf.
Are you okay with that as a wild card?
I'm okay with that.
Okay, Shane?
Yeah, I'm going to say Aries is going to get the win because he's going to have a surprise partner take care of TJ Perkins.
Are you calling the partner?
I can't because I've already used my wild card.
Well, you could call it. It doesn't mean it has to be as a wild card.
Okay, well, yeah, I'll call it. I just don't know who it's going to be. I'm going to take a stab and say it's either going to be Gran Metalik, or if they really want to push it, because we've all heard the rumblings, there's going to be a fellow former Impact wrestler coming in, and Gunner will take out TJ Perkins.
Rumors Gunner? Interesting. Okay. I will say that Neville retains clean. Austin Aries is still not there yet. He's close.
No.
But he's there. He, maybe a month or two. VRM, next one.
Yeah, Josh is going with Aries. Doesn't say if it's by DQ or not. Next up, Raw Women's Championship. Bayley versus Alexa Bliss.
Winners, the fans.
Yeah, Shane, I'll start with you on this one. Who you got?
I say Bayley retains. It's too soon for Alexa.
VRM.
Cut and paste, Bayley.
Nikki?
Bayley retains, but we're going to get a really good match.
Bayley is going to retire. I'll sweep it. But don't put it to you this way. Don't be surprised if they do the switch, because the way Bayley's been booked has been awful. Okay.
Actually, you're probably right, and I'm gonna. Do I really want Bayley to retain after something I saw on Sunday?
And what did you see on Sunday?
I was at a house show in Fargo, and I think Bayley's playing hurt. I think she's got some knee issues, so they might move it to Alexa. So let me change my vote. She was selling her knee when she didn't need to be selling her knee, so I think something's up.
Okay.
All right.
Next one, I think?
Yes, next up, Raw Tag Team Titles. The Hardy Boys versus Cesaro and Sheamus. 2 points.
Yeah, who wins? Pretty light. Okay. I am going to... do I put my wild card here? Yeah, I'm going to put my wild card here. I am going to say that the Hardys... Yes. I am going to say that Cesaro pins Matt, starting the broken gimmick. Is that and with the winning title? Is that good enough as a wild card? Or no?
It's predicating a future event, so I don't.
Yeah,
think
I can't.
Okay,
I can't.
Fine.
He has to break it if he's going to break. He's got to break at the pay per view.
Yeah. He has to break before the pay per view goes off air.
He has to eat Cesaro's face after the match.
No, then you know what? I'll change my wild card to something else. I will say that we have new champs. Cesaro pins Matt. Nikki.
Right idea, wrong pin, wrong guy staring at the pretty lights. Jeff is going to get pinned, and Matt Matt's either going to realize he screwed up. He screwed up, and that's going to break him. Or just the thought, just the fact that they lost the tag titles is going to break him. But it's going to be something where Matt is going to be left standing there helpless, and there'll be an audible crack.
Hmm.
I'm going to say the Hardys are going to retain. And it'll be Jeff pinning Sheamus.
This is such a hard one to pick because you got the whole face-face dynamic right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So, when I have situations like this...
Here we go.
I have only one option.
Yep.
The magical coin of VRM.
And it's a switch. It's a switch. I'm going Cesaro Sheamus. Pinning Jeff.
Okay, I'm just going to go off heads for a sec. VRM, you give me the next match and pick somebody.
Okay, next up, the House of Horrors match, if we have any idea yet what the hell that exactly is.
No, and wild card.
It's pretty, I think it's, because the way they made it sound, they've done filming somewhere else, so I think this is like similar to the Hardy Complex.
That's my wild card. This is a pre-taped match.
I'm going to say, but Wyatt has to win this, so I'm going to say Wyatt.
No, Wyatt's going to win. I'm just going to say that they're going to spend, you know, seven, 8 minutes of video showing us what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to piss the crowd off, but that's really the only way they can do this.
Yeah, there's really, and because it's a non-title match, it's going to be Wyatt getting the win here as another right. consolation for the aborted title run.
We're talking Wyatt Orton House of Horrors match.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask who has gone. I just want to.
Everybody.
Okay.
Everybody.
This is weird. This is the weirdest match of the night for me, because I think this is going to be what they're trying to do is sort of what, like a boiler room brawl, so a lot of pre-taped stuff.
That's Nikki's wild card.
What is the wild card, that it's all pre-taped?
Yes.
That this whole match is going to be pre-taped and shown on the Jumbotron to piss the crowd off. But Wyatt's still going to win, since mm-hmm. it's non-title.
Yeah, I agree. Wyatt wins non-title. Sweep it up, asshole. Sweep it up. Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Okay.
Yeah, but yeah. By the way, matches I just missed for Josh. He said Aries for the cruiserweight. Bayley for the Raw Women's tag titles. Hardys with Cesaro taking the fall. Wyatt with the wild card that Jinder is super effective.
Oh, that's a good call, too.
Okay. A wild Jinder Mahal appears. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up. Roman Reigns versus Braun.
This is actually a very tough match to call.
It is. Because this one can really, this one is good either way. If Strowman wins, we establish him more as a monster, and Roman might actually get some more sympathy. If Roman wins, it's still going to be a fight. Because there's no way it's going to take almost as many Superman punches and spears to bring Strowman down as he did the Undertaker.
I'm going to go with Roman Reigns on this, and I hate to, but I do, and I'll explain to you why. Many reasons. One, if he loses against Strowman the month after he beats The Undertaker, then beating The Undertaker means nothing. And the fact that they're going to go sympathy with the whole nine yards, and he's going to play superhero and all that sort of stuff, and all those factors... Roman will win.
Now, I'm pretty sure Roman is going to win. I just, you know, the option is there. And yes, you're right. Roman has to win this because then, you know, It is his yard, and him and Strowman are going to, you know, are going to. I'm just going to dig the fight.
This is
the two of them in a very physical pissing contest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the late spring feud, which will go up to Money in the Bank. Eventually by Money in the Bank, Strowman will probably come out on top. But tonight, but Sunday is going to be Reigns' night.
Because I saw that Money in the Bank was a SmackDown Live pay per view. So I'm, I don't know. I think I've pretty much already thrown away this freaking pay per view. So, yes,
well, congratulations on winning the Fizzleweight Championship.
Yeah. I'm the champion. I can do what I want.
Just hand me the belt.
you know what? Screw it. I've always been about taking risks. So you know what? I'm going to say that they're going to pull the trigger, and it's going to be Braun Strowman getting the win.
Okay.
All right, and Josh has Roman there as well for the Reigns Strowman final match. United States Championship match, Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho.
Wild card.
Do we all grab our brooms?
Well, no. My wild card is not only does Owen win, Jericho does the stretcher job.
So
that's a pretty safe card to play.
Well,
yeah, we're saying apron bomb.
Well, because since he starts his tour a week from tonight, I think we have the Fozzy tour dates actually.
And is he even coming to my neck of the woods?
Not even close. I will actually tell you where he's going.
Fozzy 2017 tour. Begins Friday, May 5th in Virginia Beach.
Oh, that's plenty of time. You might even show up on Raw, and then you'll stretcher.
Then you've got Canton, Georgia, Charlotte, Knoxville, Louisville, Kentucky. Hey, Tyler.
okay. Hey, Brian. Hey, Tyler. Keep going. Yeah.
Milwaukee. I don't know how far Milwaukee is from you.
That's too far. That's like almost 8 hours.
Oshawamedon, Wisconsin, Dubuque, Iowa, Somerset, Wisconsin, Pittsburgh, Lancaster, Patchogue, Asbury Park, kind of my neck of the woods. That's South Jersey.
Dubuque I might be able to make. I'll have to look that up.
That's May 13th. It's Spring Bash. Winchester, Virginia, Morgantown, Flint, Michigan, Joliet, Illinois, St. Louis, Pryor, Oklahoma, San Antonio, Dallas, and then they go to UK for Donington, Milton Keynes, and then Seattle on June 24th. But he's only going on the road for a month or two. That's interesting.
Then they got to get in the studio. And then he's got a book tour.
Oh, that's right. Let me see if there's a Jericho book tour. Because that's right. Because the Jericho book tour, because he's got the fourth book coming out, which is...
No is a four-letter word.
Yeah, 2017. Yeah, no is a four-letter word. That's absolutely right. Because that's right. Because the fourth book, No is a four-letter word. How I failed in spelling but succeeded in life. That is supposedly coming out as June 15th. Ah, okay. So let me just actually look at it from on Amazon. No is a four-letter word. Okay. And that comes, well, they say August 29th, but, and it's his fourth book. It's How I Failed Spelling and Succeeded in Life. And by the way, the foreword was written by some guy named Paul Stanley. You might have heard of him.
Maybe.
I believe one of the guitarists from Kiss. So. So I don't know. He may come back for a little bit, do a book tour, come back. You know, he's a part-timer there in this particular sense. But for me, I think Owens, he does the stretcher job. Do we get everybody on that?
No, I haven't gone, but I am going to say Owens. And Nikki, did you say Owens or?
Well, my original answer was the fans, but we're not allowed to use that.
Well, no. That is true, though. That is way true.
Yeah. No, Owens is retaining. At least I got to see the sparkly scarf before he goes off to be a musician. So.
Quick question. Do we want to throw in a potential bonus match between The Miz and Finn Balor if that happens later in the night?
No, because I think it'll be Miz and Ambrose, if anything.
If it's gonna be anything with Miz, it's gonna be with Ambrose. If Balor hasn't gone over that way yet, they're still trying to figure out what they want to do with him, and I really think they're just trying. The House of Horrors thing is going to tie up loose ends with Wyatt, and then we can start having the absolutely spectacularly spooky Balor Wyatt feud, please.
That's what we were just talking about earlier, Nikki. I said because we were talking about with Raw how Wyatt just turned up out of nowhere and attacked Ambrose to help Miz. And I said, well, according to rumors that are going around, they're not going to do the Wyatt Balor feud just yet. They're going to do Wyatt versus Ambrose for the IC title to make up for him having to drop the WWE Championship so soon. Mm-hmm. And have Balor versus Miz, so that way Balor's facing an established heel, and to help keep building him up while he's still recovering from his injuries.
Okay. No, I'm okay with that. I'm just trying to figure out, what that's going to entail to get Miz and Balor entwined.
Knowing how WWE normally does their things, after Miz loses to Ambrose or whoever in this bonus match, he's got to do a payback. He'll come out on Miz TV. Balor will be his guest, and he'll be like, how do you feel about people saying that you're injury prone when I've been here for this long and haven't been injured in all that time? And that'll start the whole Balor-Miz feud.
Because Balor could probably find a roundabout nice way of saying, is that so? And then I guess we need to get working on it. Boot to the head.
Yeah, it's like, Finn Balor has been injured, but the Demon King has never been injured, so.
Although I would pay a lot of money to see the Demon King in the hospital, in doing a hospital skit where, they wheel him in. He transforms, and then he escapes the hospital. But I'm weird that way. Okay.
So, I think that's pretty much it. Is that right, VRM?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, so VRM, you will put it up, I'm assuming. You put it up on the NAWC page. The pay-per-view the pick'ems will close, I believe, before 7 p.m. on Sunday. But in the words of Dickie Kamen, but before we go, we are going to sell some soap, and I'm going to start with Dickie Kamen. Do you have anything to promote?
Nothing I can really promote on air. But let's just say that I'm just going to steal a line about how the concept of marriage has been something that just is ridiculed over the years. But it was true when a fake old man said that it's still a sacred thing, whether it lasted 50 years, 16 months, or 3 minutes.
Hmm. Shane, anything on your end?
No, nothing on my end. Just remember, ladies and gentlemen, though, on May 5th, tickets will be available for WWE Great Balls of Fire in Dallas, Texas. God, that just sounds ridiculous, doesn't it?
Hi, yes, Typho.
Yes, I know. You'll be there, Typho. With your balls on. I mean, bells on. Anyway.
Stop that.
VRM, outside of Let's Go Rangers, Giants suck, let's talk about some stuff.
Senators suck, right?
Yeah, Senators suck. Well, you were not there last night, were you?
I was there. I was not there for the initial reaction to... I'm glad we got a tight end. How good's the pick, though?
No. I'm talking about, were you on the live cast last night?
Yeah, I was. I was there for like the first half of it.
Oh, that's right. You were. We did a live cast for the BS Big Show for the NFL draft in Philadelphia. And Roger Goodell got the Roman Reigns treatment all night. And he played a heel. I don't know, Nikki, it was beautiful. Got to tell, because he comes out right in the beginning of the draft. The first, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's Philly because they'll boo freaking Santa Claus, right?
Exactly. Well, don't they throw snowballs at Santa Claus?
They throw batteries at...
Yes. And so what happens is that so Goodell says, bring it on. And they boo louder. He gets the full Roman Reigns treatment, you know? And what happens is that we did a full 4-hour live cast with myself, Ian McClinn. VRM was there for a little bit. Jess Brand, who did a ton of good stuff for
Chico.
Yes, Chico was there.
Chico was there, and he was crying. How would you describe his reaction to Trubisky's pick?
Yes, because what happened was San Francisco traded with Chicago, and Chicago gets the number 2 pick, and they pick the North Carolina quarterback,
and
Trubisky.
And Chico's just like, no!
It was awesome.
For like a minute, he's just like...
it was a great reaction. We just literally did a recording of We Love to Interrupt right before this show. We're going to do a Pixel Nation this weekend. Hopefully we will start to get back to Red State Blue State. Of course, this show, Touch 'Em All, will be back either late this week, late next week, or early, you know, in about 2 weeks from now. Because that will be with show 100 for that particular show. And, of course, all the shows here on Spectrum1.net, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Overcast, Google Play Music, you know, pretty much anywhere and everywhere you can get these podcasts. And we are up with that.
You jumped right into the BS plug that I never actually got to do what my plug was.
Which was, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And it's kind of a Pixel Nation cross plug, because I have been in love with this channel on Twitch, Speed Gaming.
Okay.
Where they're currently doing a Legend of Zelda Link to the Past randomizer tournament.
Okay.
They're just finishing up the group stages. It is some really exciting stuff. Like, you'll see all kinds of all the minor glitches possible, because what a randomizer does is it takes all the items in the game and moves them around.
Okay.
So an item you would normally get at the end of the game could be in the very first chest you open. An item that you get for beating a boss.
Yep.
Or that could be hidden in some random overworld location.
Right.
And it can be very exciting as these players look for like that one little item. Like, I saw a race a couple nights ago where both players needed one item to get in what they call go mode, which basically means, okay, I've got everything I need to beat the game. Boss rush, Ganon's Tower, done. And they both went to each went to one of the last two dungeons they could before the ones that they needed the item for required.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
One guy went to one, the other person went to another, and the person who went to the second person ended up finding the item and then just boss rushing all the way through.
Nice.
And they're doing a Super Metroid 1 and a Metroid Zero Mission 100% tournament coming up as well.
Cool. Excellent. Very cool. Excellent. Always love the video channel.
Yeah. Twitch.tv/speedgaming.
I will check that out. I believe that is all we have to promote this particular week. Next week, I assume, Nikki, you will be back in the host chair. We will talk about the road to, I believe, Backlash, because that's going to start right away. We will talk about that. More wrestling news. The result, we'll talk about the payback and if we would, you know, what that's going to entail. And hopefully we'll get a good show out of it, because Payback has always been a good wrestling show, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. And of course, as you would say, Nikki, I don't necessarily have anything else to promote because we're right here. Here on the North American Wrestling Connection at the NAWC, excuse me, here on Spectrum One, for Nikki, for Tyler Brown, for VRM, and for Shane, thank you very much, and we will be back next week.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.